Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Amen. Today's message is titled Barriers and Breakthroughs. Barriers and Breakthroughs. It's one of the chapters in the book, and it's pretty cool whenever you set a theme and you're looking for confirmation from God. And we didn't know, we set our theme Breakthrough for 2020, Breakthrough 2020. And in the first book, I'm reading through the book that we're going to read together, and there it is, boom, Barriers and Breakthroughs, you know, and little things like that, I feel, is God confirming where we are headed. And I'm so proud of us. We had a great midweek service. Oh, man, it was just great to come together, talk about what we have committed to for these 21 days of prayer and fasting, and what we decided to abstain from as well and fast from. And just to be able to share the stories and get encouragement from one another, it was really awesome just to see how thoughtful we are as a church and how bought in we are just to grow in our relationship with God. And I think this sermon will help us to continue to move forward in that and grow in our convictions. And, you know, it's important to look ahead. It's important to think about the things we want to do to grow in our relationship with God and say, okay, what are going to be some barriers? What are going to be some potential breakthroughs as well? And we can plan for those. So especially when it comes to fasting. So in a couple of weeks, as we close out our 21 days of fasting, we'll also be fasting from food for 3 days. We'll be doing a 3-day fast. And so we encourage you to pick how long you want to fast. You can fast for a day. You can fast for 3 days. But we are asking everybody to go without food. If you are able, if you are physically able to go without food for whatever time period you choose to grow closer to God and to consecrate ourselves before God. But in order to do that, we have to see clearly both our potential barriers and potential breakthroughs that can come as a result. The thing is, only seeing barriers may make us lose hope, right? If we only see challenges, but only seeing breakthroughs may set us up for disappointment. And I don't know about you, but we're one or the other. Usually we're one or the other. We're just built that way. Some of us, we look at a situation and we can see all the potential barriers. You better think about that. You better think about that. How is that going to work? And others of us, we look at a situation, we're like, this is going to be amazing. You know what can happen? And we need both. We need both. And it's really good if you're a married couple and you have both of those, because you're trying to balance each other out, right? It's good to have that in our small groups. It's good to have that in the church as well. And let me tell you, desire is not enough. Wanting to do something, even wanting to do something great for God, is not enough. I've heard it say, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. And so there has to be preparation. Me and my wife actually got to learn this lesson. We decided we are going to pray with each other for 21 days. That was going to be our commitment over these 21 days. And I was like, baby, and we were thinking about, I was hoping we can pray together for 21 days. She's like, oh, yeah, of course. You know, it's like, hey, man, yeah, let's do it. And we started while we were still away, and we got back, hit the ground running, about 18 million things to do. You know how it is when you get back in town, and it's the new year. And earlier this week, we missed our day. The next morning, I was like, honey, we forgot to pray. Oh, man, let's go ahead and pray right now. And this morning, she walked out the room. I said, oh, man, honey, we forgot to pray again yesterday. And there's a couple times that we prayed, like, at the last minute, going to bed, honey, we forgot to pray. Let's pray. One of us prayed, the other one's like half asleep. Yeah. But we did it. We pushed through. Our desire was there, but we hadn't really talked about how this was going to work. We didn't talk about what time we were going to do it. We didn't talk about how we were going to do it, when we were going to carve out that specific time. And so once we know some of the challenges we could face, we can plan for them. We can, if we're going to be without food, we can say, okay, well, what can I do? You know, how can I plan my day? If I'm going to do a Daniel fast, I can only eat this type of food. Okay, can I go to the grocery store and get the vegetables and fruit that I need and meal prep? You know, there has to be some plan of action to go along with the desire that we have to do what's right. So let's get into it. Just so you know, this sermon, I'm going to hit a lot of points and a lot of scriptures. I hope you're taking notes. And you can go back and study it out for yourself. But out of these, he had a list of barriers and breakthroughs. I'm gonna hit them. Some I'll spend more time on, some I'll spend less time on. But I hope that you can connect with at least a few of these, okay? Let's jump into the barriers. Jump into the barriers. When it comes to prayer and fasting. Number one, desire for self-sufficiency. This can be a barrier. We do not like to need anyone or anything. We want to be able to survive and thrive on our own power, right? Some of us are great at serving others, but we don't want anybody to serve us. We like to be self-sufficient. We could think we got it all together, or we can be like, we don't want to bother anybody. I'll serve. Jesus didn't even do that. Jesus allowed people to serve him. Jesus could have been self-sufficient, and he wasn't. That's why he had his disciples. He relied on God, the Holy Spirit, and he's all-powerful, right? But it is in our nature, because needing makes us feel weak. And we don't like to feel weak. We like to feel strong. We like to feel like we got it all together. However, fasting forces us to admit that we are not self-sufficient. It reminds us that every fiber of our being needs God. When you go without food, you will realize this really quickly. And sometimes you'll be like, how did I get hungry so quick? Right. Man, God, I need you, God. Number two barrier, hunger for worldly pleasures. Hunger for worldly pleasures. The things of this world are more important to us than the things of God and of his kingdom. I think about 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15 through 17, the NLT says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. And that's all types of physical pleasure, including sexual pleasure. A craving for everything we see, all right? Whatever we see, we want. And pride in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. These are some examples, perfect, clear examples of things that are of this world that we crave. In verse 17, and this world is fading away along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. All these things will burn up. They will fade away. They will pass away, but the person who lives for God will live forever. So we got to ask ourselves, what do we find ourselves craving? What do we find ourselves craving? Is it things of this world? Is it the physical pleasure? Is it the money, the success, right? The romantic relationships, the sexual relationships? Is it those things that we're going after on a day-to-day basis? You can see what you crave by what you go after. What do you set your mind to? What do you want? Or maybe it's just comfort. That's a worldly pleasure. Or you just want to get to the place where I don't want to have to do nothing, all right? What are those worldly pleasures that we crave? The things of this world will pass away. But when we're hungry for those worldly pleasures, it gets really hard to fast. It's really hard to fast because it contradicts everything we've been craving. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the breakthroughs. Number three, a bent towards self-gratification. Self-gratification. That is a barrier. The indulgence or satisfaction of one's own desires. We want to be able to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. I don't know about you, but I was building my life since I understood life as a teenager or a little before then. I matured at an early age just because of my life situation, but I was already thinking that I want to get to a place where I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. Why? Because when I was broke, I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I want to get to a place where I have the financial means, when I have whatever I want to do, I can say, yeah, I want to do it. That there were no outside forces that would stop me from doing what I wanted to do. Usually when we're broke, we're more in tune with self-denial. So we understand that we can't get everything we want. We may go get them J's, but we ain't gonna have food. Or we gonna get that food, or we ain't gonna have them J's. Like, I'm gonna have my phone, but I may not have a car. Like, there's only so much we can do when there are limited resources, and we understand that we can't do everything we want, but then we get rich. And we have what we need to do what we want, right? And we have to choose to sacrifice. Do you understand how spoiled we are that we have to make a decision? We're so spoiled that we have to make a decision to be hungry. I'm going to be purposefully, I'm going to be hungry. Tell that to somebody in the third world. Oh, you get to choose to be hungry? I don't get to choose to be hungry. That's my life. And so that's why there's some folks in the third world, sometimes you go over there, you're like, man, they're so hungry for God. Yeah, because they don't have everything they want that they can eat whenever they want. Of course, they're going to be hungry for God. Like, that's just one of the things when you don't have everything, there's a desperation for God. You see your need for God more, and you understand some of these concepts. We got to choose to be, we got to choose to sacrifice. Point number four, humanism. Humanism. Humanism simply means a concept where human beings are unquestionably good and their every need is of utmost importance. It's all about us. We are a gift to God as opposed to the other way around. The world and all creation revolves around us. So in this view, we don't see ourselves as sinners in need of God, but rather as self-made people in need of a divine life coach. That's what it says in the book. And that's what a lot of Christianity is. God's going to make me a better person. God's going to help me get healthy, you know, feel good about myself. He's going to meet all of my needs because it's all about me. As humanism, it's crept into the religious Christian world. And you know, we revolve around God. We're here today, gone tomorrow. I mean, it's like we're dust. And yet we have such a high view of ourselves sometimes. So that's called humanism. Number five, next barrier, undisciplined living. Undisciplined living. What discipline is simply having the ability and power to do what you set your mind to do. So like we talked about, we may want to pray, we may want to fast, we may want to grow closer to God, but we don't have the discipline to actually live it out. We have not trained ourselves to commit to something and follow through on that commitment. I don't know about you. For me, when I'm in a season of self-discipline, of self-denial, when I'm doing good with my health, when I'm used to saying no to stuff and saying yes to the right stuff, you know, you have seasons. I'm not always like that. I have seasons when I do better than I do worse, right? When I'm in a season, when I'm really doing good with my discipline and my time management, I'm in a good season, fasting is easier. It really is. Because I'm already used to disciplining my body, Paul says, beat my body, make it my slave, right? But when I've been seeking worldly pleasures, self-gratification, fasting is torture. It is torture because I'm so used to doing what I want to do, what I feel like doing. Right now, for me, fasting from food will be easier. Right now, I'm living a little bit more disciplined, sacrificial life right now. Now, if I would have tried to fast during the holidays just a few weeks ago, that's a different story because I was in a season of indulging, especially with my mom's cooking. It's just a season, though. Here's the thing about our society. And I saw it on Thursday night and I heard it as we talked about the different things we want to do to fast and pray. We don't like to commit to anything. We don't like to commit. Here are the conversations. And here's what you know what? I'm going to really try to stay off of social media. I'm going to, you know, I'm really going to do my best to read my Bible every day. I'm going to, and there's no commitment to that statement. There's a way out. I'm just trying to do my best. If I don't get it, I don't get it. If I do, I do. Woohoo! But there's no commitment. That's because we lack self-discipline. And we're scared to make commitments because some of us are fear of failure. Well, we'd rather not commit to anything because if we fail, then we're going to feel bad. You're never going to grow that way. Yeah. Make a commitment. You fail. Make a commitment again. Our whole lives as Christians depend on the fact that we make a commitment and we stick to it. Do you understand that? Yeah. You can't come in as a Christian talking about, well, I'm going to really try to be a disciple. It ain't going to work. If you leave a back door open, it ain't going to work. I love the story of Daniel, one of the most convicting scriptures in the Bible. Daniel chapter 1, if you know the story of Daniel, Daniel and his three boys, young Hebrew boys, Babylon captured the Israelites and overtook them. And so King Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, I'm going to take the best Israelites, the best young men, and I'm going to indoctrinate them so we can use them in our kingdom. And he took Daniel and he took three other guys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and started to indoctrinate them and teach them all the Babylonian ways and took care of them and fed them and said, hey, this is how I want you to eat because I want you to be powerful and strong. But guess what? Israelites had some dietary restrictions. Right. So we can't eat pork. We can't eat stuff with blood. We can't eat all this other stuff. And so Daniel in verse 8, it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He could have had anything he wanted to eat, anything at all. And he said, no, I made a commitment to God. I got to obey his commands. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. If I let you eat what you want, fruits and vegetables, and then you're not at the shape you need to be in, I'm going to die because of it. Those were the stakes, right? And guess what? God worked it out. Because Daniel said, you know what? This is my desire, but I'm going to propose a plan. Give us 10 days. Just give me 10 days, and we can eat what we believe is right to eat according to the regulations of God. And everybody's going to eat whatever they want. If we're struggling at the end, then we'll eat whatever you tell us to do. Tell us to eat. And he said, okay. 10 days, guess what happened? Them boys were in better shape than everybody else. He made a commitment. God bless the commitment. Right, here's the thing. When we don't make a commitment to God and make faithful decisions like this, we don't give God an opportunity to work. Right. He could have outthought himself. He said, they're never going to give me an opportunity to eat what I know I should eat before God. He could have had so many excuses, but Daniel said, I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to let God do what only he can do. Yeah. And God gave him favor. Yeah. And God gave him sympathy from them. And then it worked out. Right? And so that could be such a barrier for us if we don't live lives where we are disciplined and we make commitments and we follow through on those commitments. There's a lot more I can say about that, but I'm going to move on. Point number 6, a lack of vision. Another barrier, the last one, a lack of vision. We just don't have the spiritual eyes to see the breakthroughs that will come as a result. One, many times we just don't have a spiritual vision. We don't even see the spiritual battle that's going on around us. And so how can we see even spiritual breakthroughs if we can't even understand we're in a spiritual battle between good and evil, between God and the devil, the demons, the angels? There's a war going on. And yeah, it's like we're wearing glasses and it's a Matrix, you know? I mean, that's the best movie. Thank you, God, for that movie. Because that's what it is. And so sometimes even when we're thinking about fasting, all we can see is the barriers because we're not looking through spiritual eyes. 2 Kings chapter 6, another great story. This is about the prophet Elisha. At this point, the king of Aram is at war against Israel, and he's going to set up camp to go attack Israel. God tells Elisha. Elisha tells the king of Israel. The king of Israel moves and does a little counter to the king of Aram's strategy. And the king of Aram's hot. He's like, we have a snitch in our camp. Who told the Israelites we were going over there? And they're like, it wasn't us. God, the God of Israel, tells Elisha, the prophet, what you talk about in your bedroom. Man, that king was so mad. He said, hey, get the boys. We're going to get them. And that's exactly what they did. It says they had a strong force. They surrounded the whole city that Elisha was in. And the next morning, this is what happens, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God, Elisha, when he got up and went out early the next morning, he gets out the house, he's going to get the paper, he's going to get the mail, he's going to run some errands. An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. He runs back, oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asks. Elisha, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He was able to see that the spiritual forces, they had nothing, they could do nothing against the spiritual forces that were protecting Elisha. And then Elisha said, God, make him blind. God made him blind. They couldn't see nothing. That whole army said, hey, listen, the prophet's not there. Go this way. Brought him to the Israelite king, and then ended up feeding them and not killing them, fed them, feed your enemies, and sent them back. Is that crazy? But the servant could not see what Elisha could see. And some of us, we're just not seeing the spiritual battle that is going on for our souls. We see the girl that hits us up on Instagram that's trying to get at us like good, because we're hungering for that. And it's really Satan trying to distract us. Right? We see this job opportunity, right? That's gonna like be a horrible decision for us and our relationship with God and our family. We're not spiritually mature enough to be traveling all the time, whatever it may be. And we think it's an opportunity. Why? Because we're hungry for that. And it's an attack from Satan to take us away from God. And so we got to see through spiritual eyes, and we just lack vision. That's a barrier that stops us from really praying and fasting. Because once we understand the spiritual battle, guess what? Oh, we're going to be praying and fasting. Amen. I had a friend recently that went through this. I mean, some serious stuff where he saw some demonic stuff and was convinced of it, came in contact with some witchcraft stuff that people were doing to him. He was shook. And it humbled him. It humbled him. All that stuff is real. All right, those are the barriers. Those are the barriers. Here's one last thing I'll say about that, a lack of vision. Oftentimes, when we are counting the cost as to whether or not we want to follow Jesus and be a disciple, submit our lives to him, we struggle with a lack of vision, right? One, we don't understand the spiritual battle, but we don't understand the breakthroughs that are going to come as a result. Because if we did, right, there's no question. Like, if we understood hell and heaven, which one do you want? It's not complicated, right? If we can see with spiritual eyes. And so what I would do, and I tell guys, I said, oh, you're on the fence. Why don't you fast until God makes it clear? Oh, man. I don't know about that. And that's the problem. You mean you're not willing to give up food for a little bit of time, really a little bit of time, right? So you can be in heaven forever? That just shows us where we are. And oftentimes, if they will do that, you see really quickly that you're ready to follow Jesus because of all the things we already have talked about. Amen. They see their need for God and the incredible relationship that awaits. So I want to encourage you, if you're counting the cost, fast until God makes it clear. All right? And then you will see some breakthroughs. You will see some breakthroughs. So those were six barriers. Now let's talk about some breakthroughs. Number one, a deeper friendship with God. A deeper friendship with God, which is the most important breakthrough we can have. Listen to this, Psalm 63. Write this down, but listen. Psalm 63, verse 1. This is David's heart towards God. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Friendship with God. That's the most important thing we can have. Amen. We do a lot of stuff. We can do a lot of stuff. We can evangelize. We can make disciples. We can serve. We can do a lot of stuff. Right. If we don't have this, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. I was telling my wife this. I meet so many people that at one point were disciples, were serving in a church. Recently at a gig I was at, I was talking to them about what I do. I'm a pastor, a minister, da, 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 and I hear them singing. I said, well, all right, now I can use you in the choir. He said, oh, I used to be a worship minister. Wow. Now, I would never have been able to tell that, right? Because of the lifestyle, his conduct in the moment. And so I run into people all the time that have left God, that have left the church. At one point, we're there. And it goes back to this. There can be a lot of reasons why we left God and left the church. Church hurt is there, and they're valid reasons, valid experiences. But at the end of the day, we don't have this. You don't leave this. When you have this friendship, you don't. Yeah, you go through hard times, but you don't leave the God that whose love is better than life. Amen. There's nothing better than life. Why would you go back to anything else? Because in your heart, it's. And so fasting and praying helps us just get a deeper relationship with God. If you get nothing else out of this, get that. I ask people, how are you doing your relationship with God? What do you mean? Because we don't even religious people, sometimes we don't even see it as a relationship. Say, well, you know what? I'm going to church. I asked you about your relationship with God. Man, you know what? I should be reading more than I do. I pray. How's your relationship? Like, if I asked you how your relationship with your husband was, would you say, well, I'm home for dinner every night? No, because it's a relationship. And we have to go from religion in that sense, tradition, to a true relationship with God. We have to build a relationship with God. Get to know God for yourself. If you are not in your Bible, if you're not reading the scriptures, if you do not know him for yourself, you can't have a relationship. You don't have a relationship with him. Get to know God for yourself. Build a deeper friendship. And if you don't have that, pray and fast. Number two, another breakthrough. Renewed hunger for heavenly things. Heavenly things. We get hungry for the right things. You know what I've learned? We often eat what we're hungry for. How about you? But if I got that taste for some Popeyes, guess where I want to go? I'm going to go eat that. Most of us eat what we're hungry for. Now, fasting will help us hunger for the right things, for God. you know, the book says, it's difficult to long for the things of heaven when all of the things of this earth keep us completely satisfied. As our brother Quay said, when we did that panel, I believe it was, around the Avengers Endgame movie, he said, as we mature in Christ, our tastes change. That is a hallmark of a mature Christian. Your tastes start to change. Here, let me tell you. I mean, so my wife challenged me on, challenged everybody. As we were down there, we spoke at an educators conference. She talked about wellness and having that a lifestyle of wellness as a teacher, as an educator. And she just told them, drink water. Drink water. Said you should drink what's your body weight and drink half of your body weight. You should drink in ounces of water. Man, okay. And so I was convicted everybody. So I'm like, I'm trying to do a better job of that. And then I started doing that. I'm like, man, honey, I'm like things tasted sweeter, salt tasted saltier. She's like, yeah, your body is changing because you're drinking more water. And the more healthier choices you make, the more healthier your body wants to become. You ever start working out and then you don't even feel like going to get something like greasy? You're like, I want a salad. I never want a salad, but I want a salad. Like, you know what? Order me a salad. It's like your body yearns for it. And so the more we grow in our relationship with God, then those things satisfy us and we desire that even more and more. Why? Even as we're getting healthier, we're like, man, this feels good. And yet there's still something in us that fights for that worldly flesh, that even health, even I'm talking about physical health, right? And even when we know that this feels better than that, even spiritually, you come to church, you spend the time around disciples, you read your Bible, you pray, like, this feels better than that. And so we got to keep that hunger. Amen. And it helps us break through. That's a breakthrough for us. We really get hungry for the right things. Number three, soul training for self-denial. Soul training, this is a breakthrough for us. If we pray and fast, we'll get better at denying ourselves. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? This Jesus says, you can't follow yourself and me. You can't follow yourself, what you want to do, and follow me. Why? Because we're going in two different directions. And we're going to end up at two different destinations. You can't do both. So in order for you to follow me, you have to say no to yourself so you can say yes to me. Self-denial helps us to say no to self so we can say yes to God, who is better, who knows what's best for us, who has a fulfilling and satisfied life waiting for us, right? Who knows what he has in store for us, right? And help and wants to help us to get to heaven. But we can only do that through self-denial. It's not just about what we have to say no to, but it's what we get to say yes to as a result. Any successful person will understand this. And once you get to a certain point in your career, you end up saying no to more things than you say yes to. For everything you say yes to, you have to say no to something else or someone else. If you say yes to spending more time and get a promotion, then you got to say no to maybe your family, right? If you say yes to that, you got to say no. You understand that as you grow even professionally. It's the same thing spiritually. The more of that stuff, the worldly stuff we say no to, it opens up so we can say yes to the right things, the things that are going to help us ultimately become more like Jesus and make it to heaven. Because we cannot do it all. We just can't. We can't do it all. Number four, another breakthrough. Intimacy, security, and strength. Intimacy, security, and strength. You know, scriptures teach us that there's a clear connection between these, between an intimacy with God in their relationship, a closeness you feel in your connection to God, security in your identity in Christ, you're secure in who you are, and the strength that's needed to resist temptation and live holy lives. We see Jesus experience those things during his time of prayer and fasting in the desert, right? And so he goes out there, he's praying, he's fasting 40 days, 40 nights, and Satan attacks him with that. Now he grows in his intimacy with God because he's fasting, right? But Satan tempts him with compromising in his identity. If you really are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jump off from this mountain. Hey, I can give you everything. Everything. This is my world. I can give you. And so he struggles with that. But because he was fasting, then he was able to resist temptation. Fasting helps us to resist temptation. The strength to fight. How many of us want to say no to sin? That's it? We'll get there. We'll hunger for the right things. Most of us in here, we want to do the right things. Right? And so fasting helps us because it helps us in our intimacy, in our security, and gives us the strength, and also gives us the strength to repent. Amen. To repent. If you know the story of Jonah going to preach to the Ninevites, he didn't want to go. He ran away. A big fish swallowed him, spit him back up. On his way, the people of Nineveh end up fasting and repenting. The king of Nineveh, before he even goes to preach to him, or I think he may have said one thing to him, they go, okay, guess what? All of us are going to fast, even the animals. Everybody fasting. Because I don't want the destruction he just told us is coming our way. Everything is fasting. And they did, and they repented. Fasting helps us to repent. If we're in cycles of continued sin, fast. Fast. Ask God to help us. It's God who grants us repentance, right? Number five, another breakthrough. Another breakthrough is clarity in prayer. Clarity in prayer. What do you need clarity on? Surely we have decisions we're trying to make. Surely we have, relationship statuses that we, some of us may want to change. Amen. Yes, speak it out. Come on. Surely there's some opportunities that we don't know if we should take or not. Surely the financial stuff going on. What do we need clarity on? Fasting helps us to get clarity. Isaiah 58:9 says this, then you will call, this is after you fast, then you will call and the Lord will answer, you will cry for help and he will say, here am I, here am I. God wants us to give us clarity. He wants to answer our prayers, whether it's a yes, no, or later, not now. He wants to do that. We get more in tune with that when we fast. Amen. Number six, another breakthrough. Humility for revival. Fasting gives us humility specifically for revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. There is no grace without humility. There's no grace is forgiveness. There's no grace without humility. And so fasting helps us to be humble in that way. And even with the Ninevites that we just read about, we just talked about, Jonah and the Ninevites, there was revival for that land, for that people, because of them fasting and repenting. Humility is a magnet for the presence of God and the blessings of God. Fasting has a way to bring us low, which is the opposite of humanism, right? Where we understand where we truly are in the whole scope of this thing. When we become desperate for God, we are suitable vessels for revival. Humility for revival. Last one is number seven, freedom from demonic strongholds. Talked about that a little bit already, the spiritual battle. In Mark chapter 9, there's a story of a father who is desperate and brings his son, who is demon-possessed, to the disciples of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus cannot drive out the demons. They start arguing. And Jesus has to come in, and he's like, how long do I got to put up with y'all? And the dad is like, if you can, please heal my son. If you can, Jesus says, if you can, anything is possible for him who believes. And Jesus, in that moment, calls a demon out of the boy. The boy falls out like he's dead, and people think he's dead. And then he lives. He comes to life. He stands up. He's good. The thing that Jesus says at the end of that, because disciples were like, "Well, why couldn't we drive this one out?" And Jesus says, "Some of these can only come out by prayer and fasting." Now, here is the thing about that passage. In that moment, Jesus did not fast nor pray. there's many moments where miracles happen and Jesus actually prays for the miracle. Ask God, not because I need a God, but just so they will see God that I pray. He doesn't do that. He just says it. And we don't know. He didn't stop right there and say, I'm not going to eat. What is it then? Jesus lived a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. This was who he was, and therefore that's why he was so connected to God. And what had happened, you see, the disciples had already gotten the power to drive out demons in Mark chapter 3. Jesus had given them the authority to drive out demons. In this moment, they lacked the power. And I think in that moment, Jesus was saying this, remember, guys, it's not enough just to have the authority. Prayer and fasting will allow you to have the power. The power to live out the authority, right? Prayer and fasting gives us the power to exercise the authority Christ has already given us. Why? Because we have disciplined ourselves to live more dependent on God. This is just my thoughts. You know, I like to get creative with it. My thought is they had been doing it so much, they had gotten comfortable, and they weren't even relying on God anymore. Wow. And before they knew it, the power was gone because they had stopped being dependent. Jesus was trying to help say, hey, let's get back to prayer and fasting now so you can be who you need to be, help those who you need to help. And also for us with strongholds that may be in our hearts, right? We need to ask God for God to grant us repentance like we talked about before. And let me tell you, there are demonic strongholds here, like in this city. When you see in this world, there are strong, the Bible teaches us that they have kingdoms, the demonic spiritual realm, the devil has kingdoms set up in different places around the world that match up to different cities. And I mean, there's some schools that are strong. I mean, listen, if you read through spiritual eyes, you read the Bible, the concept of the spiritual realm has not changed. It hasn't changed. And so we need to be praying and fasting about those things. We see some crazy stuff. Kids killing each other? School shootings? You think that's just mental illness? There's demonic forces that are real. And so we gotta be on our knees. We gotta understand that we need God. Freedom from demonic strongholds. And guess what? Freedom comes through repentance. You know, we can talk about all that. We can pray about all. If we talk about demonic strongholds, we go into that realm. Look, at the end of the day, you better pray. There's something that we need to do. Yeah, we need freedom, but repentance brings us freedom. All right. And some of us, we need to repent. All right. And the Bible says if we stand firm against Satan, he will flee. Okay, so there's things we can do, right, if we take our stand. All right. So those are the barriers. Six barriers, but there's seven breakthroughs. Look, we're already winning. So at this time, what we're going to do is we're going to pray for our communion. God, we love you, and we thank you, God, for teaching us how we can get closer to you. The fact that you allow us to have a relationship with you is amazing. We get to have a relationship with our Creator, with you, God, the one God. Oh, Lord, we're so grateful. We are so humbled. We're so honored, Lord, and we pray we can make the most of every opportunity we have to get closer to you, God. God, we thank you for Jesus, that he died on the cross for us so that our sins may be forgiven, may be wiped out, so that we can be in the light, so that we can be in your kingdom, in your family, on the winning team, Lord God. And God, I pray that we will fight for that friendship that we get to have with you, God. And I pray for those who are wrestling whether or not they want to follow you, God. Please help them to understand what your will is for their lives, God. Help us all, God, to be grateful for what Jesus died on the cross. As we take this cracker that represents the body that was broken for our sin, as we take this juice that represents the blood that was shed to purify us of sin, God, help us to be grateful and help us to renew our commitment to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.